Welcome back to the third hour of the KPK Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims. Glad to have you along Saturday. It's all or part from 5 to 8 and also on 93.1 FM. You're on 1530 AM, of course. Tuesday there's going to be a whole bunch of new gun laws go into effect in California. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I will tell you right now, almost every one of them are stupid and they will not save lives, but they will prevent people from hunting with lead. You, as of Tuesday, you are not allowed to hunt anything in California with lead bullets or lead shot, period. No, you can't go out and shoot a rat with a .22. The only thing you can use those guns for now in your lead ammunition is target practice. And yeah, you can do it on public land, which is equally as stupid because there's no scientific basis for this ban on lead ammunition. It all comes from the Condor people who were fraudulent from the beginning anyway, although we want to protect the Condor. Everything they do is fraudulent. And this is bought and paid for scientists. There's millions and millions of rounds of ammunition that legal hunters have. Now they can't use it in California. It's a stupid law, and it was pushed through the legislature by none other than Daryl Steinberg when he was president pro tem of the Senate. There's a guy that doesn't know the first thing about guns or hunting or anything or people's rights. None of his laws that he backed saves lives. And that's what we're trying to do. But anyway, there's a few others, too. That you could get a lifetime ban for a domestic violence. In other words, let's say you're 21 years old and you're married. And, of course, you're immature. And so you get a big heated argument and you slap your wife or you slap your husband. They call the cops. You got a lifetime ban on possessing firearms. That's a Democrat law for you. I mean, it's just way overkill. Domestic violence, I believe they ought to have protections, and I think that maybe if you prove your domestic violence, then you have to have a ban on firearms for a certain period of time. A lifetime ban? It's not well thought out, okay? Anyway, and then a law that says you have to be now 21 to buy a long gun, and it even goes so far if you possess it. Does that mean if you're out hunting with your father when you're 18, you can't possess it? It's not well thought out. It's not clear on what it means. There's another Assembly Bill 18 is proposed to put a new excise tax on gun sales and use the money to fund violence intervention and prevention activities? What if they have nothing to do with guns? Another Democrat, another liberal bill, not well thought out. And now, unfortunately, Gavin Newsom, you know, Brown signed all these things as part of a deal-making thing. He didn't care about taking away legal citizens' rights. And Gavin Newsom is going to be, he is known as the anti-gun governor. So he'll find a way, like he has done. Gavin Newsom has not said anything or done anything to ruffle anybody's feathers until he got elected. And then we'll see what the real Gavin Newsom is made of now. So pure politician. All right. Well, there's a lake that's kicking out some pretty nice trout. And that's Comanche. I talked to Robbie Dunham of Coke Machine Guide Service for an update. Robbie, we're ready to take off for a new year. I guess you're hoping it's going to be as good as last year because we're checking that Comanche website. Maybe one time out of every 20 times you don't get your limits. You had pretty good fishing there in 2018.
I had a spectacular year up there this year, Bob, and I can't complain about the size of the fish, the quality of the fish, and staying busy with lots of fish action.
Yeah, and it's, of course, not everybody. I really appreciate when you post on their website because you tell how you catch the fish, what speed you're going, how deep you're doing, what lures you're using. And a lot of these guys just use it for a bragging board, you know, and they're not helping people. So you really help people quite a lot. Now, you're catching trout. You went out today or yesterday, Robbie?
Today.
Today. How'd you do?
I had a grandson and a grandfather book a trip with me, and we had 22 grabs, and we finally got 10 fish in the box at 12 o'clock noon.
Wow, that's pretty good fishing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, are they still on the grub bite?
Yes. We talked to a few of the guys today, pulling spoons and speedy shiners and the fast lures, and they didn't do as quite as well. I think once that temperature really gets into the mid-50s, it was 57 this morning, and I think they just don't want to chase after that fast stuff. And then with the grub bites, I mean, having 22 grabs, you know, by noon, that's a lot of fish
yeah.
that have potentially been caught.
I'll say. Of course, you slow down when you're fishing the grubs. How fast are you going?
With the grubs, I'm going 1.4 to 1.6 on the GPS.
Okay. All right. Which is about half the speed you'd be going with the others, huh?
Yeah, the speedy shiners, I run them up anywhere from 2.8 to 3.2 with
yeah.
the speedy shiners.
Yeah. And how deep? What's the magic depth out there, or if there is one?
Well, right now we have been catching most all of our fish in the top 8 feet. We use a 16th ounce, an 8th ounce, and a 3/16th ounce. So very small, little bullet weights just to get the grub underneath the surface.
Okay, so yeah, so when you let out a lot of line, you might be what, 6-7 feet down?
Yeah, we're thinking between 4 to 7 feet.
Yeah. Well, that's fun fishing too. That's fun fishing. What color grub seems to be working? If you had to choose two, Robbie, what would they be?
If I had to choose two, I would go with Fire Tiger and white. And today we did really good on the bright orange, not the methylate orange, but the bright orange this morning.
isn't that like Berkeley to come out with a winner and everybody wants it and then they stop making it?
Exactly. Yeah, there was quite a few of the people on the fishing boards actually emailed them and asked them, you know, if they could get them going again, but they just never did take off.
Yeah. So, and then you put a power egg on the front of them?
Yes. On the Fire Tiger one, I put a white power egg on the front. And with the white grubs, I'll either put a chartreuse or a yellow or an orange. And those have been my top producers for the last probably month and a half now.
Okay. And sometimes, does the bite vary? I mean, sometimes it's a good grab. Sometimes they just subtly take it.
That's exactly right. Today we had some that bounced the rod. I run back there and I try to feed them some line and let that grub fall and let them come back and get it. And they just haven't been coming back like they have in the past. So that's what we were saying this morning about the 22 grabs. I mean, not all those grabs were fish on. You know, they were just where they bent the rod and there was a fish there.
Well, when you said 22 grabs and you got 10 fish, I knew something was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, plus, I had a brand new young kid today that never even caught a fish, and his grandpa and I were trying to teach him, and he was pulling and stuff, and he did an awesome job. I mean, he was so happy when we got there.
Yeah. Yeah, another young person is hooked for life, huh?
Well, I hope so, yep.
Hey, one last question, Robbie.
Sure.
What section, you're fishing the upper end or the lower end, or where do you feel the fish are?
Typically what I do, Bob, is in the wintertime, I go east from North Shore and go up into the Narrows, and I've actually gone to the bridge and past the bridge. But from the North Shore Marina all the way up to the end of the Narrows there, there's a lot of fish there. And you can go, there's an orange ball that's out in the river channel before you go to the bridge area. There's fish down there. So there's a lot of fish in there.
What about the lower end of the lake? What are you hearing?
I haven't heard anything down by the dam or the Big Hat, Little Hat area. I know most of the guys like myself stay in the Narrows in the winter, but there's so many fish in there right now. They planted 3,600 last week with 12 in each spot, and then they did it again today. So there's a lot of fish in that lake right now. So, you know, the listeners can go down to the Big Hat, Little Hat, and Dam area, too, if it gets congested up there in the Narrows.
It's It's Robbie Dunham, and what he means by 1,200 each, 1,200 pounds in the North Shore boat ramp, 1,200 pounds South Shore boat ramp, 1,200 pounds in the trout pond on the South Shore. A lot of fish in that lake. In fact, they have increased their allotment for fish in Comanche this year, if you can believe that. They're the only lake doing that. Fishing is good. Robbie's number to book a trip, 209-712-6611. On the web, he's Koch Machine Guide Service, and that's K-O-K-E. Okay, after the break, we will talk to, you know what? We're going to talk to John Leasty about how to catch big black bass in the winter. Don't go away. Welcome back. Well, how would you like to start the year with a nice pheasant hunt at Rahaga's? Well, you can do that. Right now, if you're the ninth caller at 921-1530, 800-834-1530, Rahaga's will send you a certificate for three pheasants up at Rahaga's. That's just about an hour north of Sacramento on I-5 right outside of Dunnigan. It's a great natural cover thing. They got a great sporting clays course as well. And take somebody along and split the cost of another three-bird card. You can have a fun day. So to the ninth caller, Rahaga's, Donna Rahaga will send you a certificate for three pheasants. You must have a valid California hunting license to participate in this. Good luck. Again, 921-1530, 800-834-1530. All right. John Leasty is a guide who used to work for Glory Hole Sports. He's a guide, experienced fishing guide service. His specialty is New Melonis. There was an article on him in the National Bassmasters magazine recently, and I had him on a couple of weeks ago. We were having fun with it. But at that time, the pattern hadn't set in for big fish just yet. But last week it had, so we did an interview, and I saved it for this week. John Leasty talking about how to catch big black bass. John, when last we spoke, you were a little frustrated because the pattern for the big fish just about 3 or 4 weeks ago hadn't really occurred on New Melonis Reservoir. And, of course, it's known for its big fish. And the clubs up there instituted a Florida largemouth planning program years ago. We're seeing the results of that because it's got big fish in that lake. So please tell me it's changed.
Oh, it's changed drastically. We've finally started to see some of those big bass, start catching some big bass. And it feels like winter, big bait, big fish swimming, or fishing is finally here.
Yeah. You know, that it's amazing. A million years ago, you think a cold snap in winter, and that's the last thing you'd want as a bass fisherman. But now with our knowledge and techniques, that's what you kind of wait for, because the fish develop into a pattern where you can figure out and go get them.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, those larger bass typically look for larger meals, being mostly rainbow trout.
Yeah.
They don't feed as often, but when they do, I feel like they're looking for one large meal. And if you put your lure in the right place at the right time and you actually have the right lure that is appealing to them, then you get those big bites. It's not a lot, but it's worth the effort.
Yeah, well you know, for the guy that's not used to catching big fish, it's hard because it's hard to keep your confidence going, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's definitely, you don't get a lot of answers. You don't get a lot of information from the fish throughout the day. You just have to kind of hope that what you're doing is right and stick with it.
Of course, once you do catch those big fish, then all of a sudden you don't seem to mind as much doing it.
That's it, too. And, you know, I've been doing the big swim bait fishing for years now, and I've acquired a lot of knowledge. And, you know, a lot of people come out with me just to have that confidence
sure.
that what they're doing is sure. right. That's, You know, I don't ever guarantee that the bites are going to come, but you know, the information that you'll get with me, you know, going out on the lake is definitely going to lead you to some bigger fish.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's why it's worth the price of admission. Now,
that's it.
What's the depth range where you're catching these big fish?
You know, usually the big fish I catch are relatively shallow. I'll target anywhere from, 5 foot of water to about 30 foot of water. Typically don't catch any of my larger fish past 30 foot. I believe they hold out deeper, but when they're just holding, they're not really feeding.
Yeah, they're not biting. And so are you using swim baits, like rainbow pattern swim baits?
Yeah, I've been, doing mostly swim bait trips. We're still catching lots of fish on finesse tactics, but if you want to just have a shot at a true giant, we're fishing 8 to 10-inch rainbow trout patterns. Some just subsurface, and others all the way down on the bottom, fishing them real slow and just kind of crawling them along.
Yeah. So the big bass, even though the water's cold, you think with these bigger baits, these subsurface baits, you think they'll come up from a little deep, like 15 feet of water, to grab one of those things 3 feet deep?
Yes, definitely. I believe a big fish, if you offer them the right meal, being a rainbow trout, that there's so much protein and it's worth their efforts, I think they'll move even from, 45, 50 foot of water, that if they can see it and detect that it's there and they think that they have a likely chance of catching it, they're going to come up and they're going to put the effort into trying to get that one big meal.
Sounds like tuna fishing.
I guess so. I've never done it, but
well, they could be 200 feet deep and you're fishing for them with cedar plugs on the surface, right? So anyway, do you like a particular swim bait? Does it make any difference, or is it more about presentation?
It's a little bit of both. I definitely have my favorites, starting with the Huddlestons, the soft-bodied kind of rubber boot tails type swim uh-huh. bait. And then I fish a lot of the glide baits, which is a one-joint bait.
Sure.
Kind of has a real side-to-side action.
Yeah.
They make them, the River to Sea S Waver is a good one. The Depths 250 is a good one. I definitely have certain ones that I tune into, yeah. But I think just learning the action of the bait and where and how to throw it is more important than actually what you're fishing with.
Hey, last but not least, how big are some of these fish running?
The biggest one I've personally hooked in the last 3 weeks was 9 pounds. It was 9.4. I also had a 7-pounder that same day. We've seen multiple double-digit fish following the lures, usually getting about 1 to 3 bites each trip doing it, and those are pretty good days when you're talking about targeting 1% of the entire fish population.
That's John Leasty. You see why he catches big fish. He just knows how to do it. Experience Fishing Guide Service. Here's his number to book a trip. 209-743-9932. That's 209-743-9932. And he told me, he says, the people I take out want to go out and learn how to do this. And when they go out with me, most of them are quite successful in going out and doing it on their own. So, if you're a bass fisherman and you've never caught a fish 5 pounds, and there are a lot of you out there, John's the kind of guy that could put you into a real big bass. He catches a lot of real big bass every single year. So, hey, we mentioned about the row that is available, certain bait shops. We know that Sacramento Pro Tackle's got some frozen row, freshly packaged and everything, and it's not cured. Now, with sturgeon, doesn't matter if it turns white. Now, a row that's not cured will turn white. Doesn't seem to make any difference for sturgeon. You want that. With steelhead, it does make a difference. But to cure a row, it should be cured when it's fresh. And all you have to do to cure it is thaw it out and split the skeins so they lay flat on newspaper, and lay the skein side down, not the egg, but the skein side down on newspaper, and then fold the newspaper over lightly, put it in refrigerator, and change that newspaper about three times a day for 2 days, and that takes all the moisture out of it. That alone will keep its color a lot longer. Then if you want to sprinkle borax in there, rub a little borax into the stain, that'll help toughen the skein so it'll stay on the hook. And then it's completely up to you if you want to add the other things that a lot of people, I use this brown sugar, I use pancake syrup. Quite frankly, if you cure roe right, you'll be surprised how good it is all by itself. After all, that's what the fish you're fishing for are looking for, isn't it? So remember, it's not going to cure as well when it's been frozen, but it will cure, and it will be much better than the uncured roe, especially for steelhead. We'll be back with Don Paganelli right after this. And while Don Paganelli is on hold, he's over at Clear Lake for his annual trip with some friends. They get a whole bunch of jumbo minnows, and they go catch a bunch of big bass. I just have to read you the text he sent me yesterday. He said, did the Delta this week, looking for stripers, found only one keeper. We also found a bunch of crappie, along with about 12 other boats. We caught about 25 and kept 10 good-sized ones. And that's all he said to me. Mr. Paganelli, good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
That just did not sound like you at all. How do you accidentally run into crappie when you're striper fishing?
Well, it wasn't 100% accident. I kind of knew about it already. And I took somebody out there that had never been to that part of the world yet. But I went up there looking for stripers. We went up, I call it the north end of the Delta, extreme north end. We were up in Snodgrass Slough.
Okay.
And I don't mind telling people now, because there was another 14 boats up there, because they all found out about it.
It's been a secret for years.
But it was loaded with bait, lots of bait. I mean, I couldn't believe how much bait was up in there. And usually we get a lot of really nice stripers. In fact, one of the biggest stripers I ever caught was up there. We throw a lot of Alabama rigs and swim baits for the stripers up there. And we did that for probably a couple hours in the morning and didn't have any hits. We kept marking fish on and off. But I kept seeing those big schools of crappie, and I was telling the person I took out, in fact, I'm fishing with him right now here at Clear Lake, that, you know, we could do some crappie fishing if you wanted to, because we had the gear for it, and all of a sudden, here comes the crappie fishermen. There was a couple of boats that pulled up, and they started crappie fishing, and then before I know it, another couple of boats come up, and they're crappie fishing. And so we put the swim bait rods down for a little bit and set up for crappie fishing. And the crappie bite there is very light. And when I mean light, I mean extremely light. I mean, those fish, they really did not want you to move that crappie jig. Mm. Almost dead stick in the crappie jig, and all of a sudden you just feel a little tick. And you would watch the screen, and you would just see these schools of bait just going back and forth underneath you. And we were fishing probably in 20 to 25 feet of water. There's a little bit of a dip back there, like a hole that dips down back there. And that's where all these fish were holding. So we did that for a while. We caught, we kept catching different sized crappie. We kept catching small ones, and then we'd catch a really nice one and we'd throw that in the well. And then we kept seeing these seagulls up way up in front of us circling around and moving. And so he mentioned, hey, let's go check that out. So I went up there and picked up the swim bait rod, threw an Alabama rig out, first cast, got a almost 5-pound striper. So I'm figuring, okay, maybe we found out where the stripers were. Well,
that was your one. That was your one keeper.
That was that was it. Never got another bite after that. We threw the swim baits and the Alabama rigs probably for another another couple of hours up that end of the world and didn't get anything, so we circled back down and crappie fished for a while before we called it quits for the day. But there was, I counted at one point, there was at least 14 boats down there crappie fishing.
Wow.
And they were all kind of in the same area. Everybody was catching fish. It just had to be patient, and that bite was pretty consistent. I don't think those fish are going very far. There's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of bait, just a lot of bait. I expect to see more stripers, but they move in and out of that area. When they get in there, you really find them. But, yeah, it was fun for the crappie anyway. We kept 10 decent crappie that you would actually fillet. So they were pretty nice crappie.
I'm jealous.
Well, you should get out there.
I love crappie fishing.
Well, you know that part of the world, so I think you know where I'm talking about.
I know exactly where you're talking about. I am surprised that there was 14 boats. I would expect maybe four or five, maybe a half a dozen, but it's caught on, I guess.
Well, we just had our first takedown here at Clear Lake. So
okay, well let's end with the Delta. Let's end with the Delta, and you're over at Clear Lake on your annual minnow trip. Another thing I'm jealous of, and I hear that some of the bait shops ran out of minnows, huh?
They're all out of them except for one shop that we finally found up here at the north end of the lake. Oh, hang on, we got one that's playing with one here. Anyway, I laid back because he calls me last night. He comes up ahead of time Friday, and he got a hold of one of the tackle shops earlier, and they were supposed to hold shiners for him. He got there, and they were all gone.
Oh,
they didn't even hold them for him. So he found a. So I'm on the phone. This was in the middle of me texting you last night, and I found out that New Romeo's, which is really close to where I live down there in Freeport, they had a ton of shiners. So I had like 4 or 5 gallon buckets ready to go with some little battery operated aerators. And I was going to go down there this morning early when they opened at 5 and load up the buckets with shiners. And he calls me last night. He says, I found a tackle shop that has some up here up in Lakeport. So we're going to, he says, I'm good. I said, you sure? Because I want to get up there because we go through quite a few of them.
I know you do.
On our, so we're good. We've got, I think he's got 6 dozen in the well right now.
Yeah.
And like I said, we just had one takedown. And these, it'll be kind of weird to see what happens this year.
Yeah, how year's different. How deep are you fishing?
Well, the first takedown he had was on, believe it or not, on a slip bobber.
Oh.
So we're fishing, the boat is sitting in 10 feet of water right now. And so we're trying up shallow first, and then if, we'll start working deeper if that doesn't work out, obviously.
Yeah.
Because we found them all the way down, you know, up there at Henderson Point 1 year, where we finally found them when we were actually using drop shot rigs with these shiners and catching all the fish doing that. But
I know last year you caught them kind of surprisingly. It was kind of a steep bank, and it went down about 18 feet and leveled off, and it was right there that you found the fish.
I think that was Henderson Point.
Okay.
Where we were fishing.
Yeah.
And we were drop shotting, so you had to pitch it up close and then drop it off that edge and just sit there, and all of a sudden you just feel pressure. And that may be what happens today. The water temp here is at 48.8 is what I'm looking at
uh-huh,
now.
Uh-huh.
I heard the crappie bite up here is supposed to be phenomenal right now.
There you go again.
Hey, fishing's fishing. You know, it's all fun.
I know.
And I'm looking at the screen right now. There's a huge school of bait swimming underneath the boat right here, but that's Clear Lake. I mean, there's so much bait.
Yeah, I know.
It's
I know.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
But, It should be a fun weekend, and this is one of those trips we kind of look forward to.
I know, and I look forward to talking to you the following week about how you did, so we'll talk to you next week, okay?
You bet, Bob.
Good luck out there.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you, Don.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Don Paganelli, to book a trip, it's 916-502-3474. He does enjoy himself out there, doesn't he? Hey, when we come back, We'll get a report on Collins Lake. Some big trout are starting to show up. Well, Collins Lake has a great fall planting program in addition to its fabulous spring, late winter and spring planting program. And they're not used to this nice of weather this time of year. And all of a sudden, some big fish started to show up. So I asked Lincoln Young to come on and talk about it. Good morning, Lincoln.
Good morning, Mom.
Well, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago, and they were catching some nice trout, but it seems like some bigger ones showed up.
Yeah, it's just been interesting. We put in a lot of fish in the lake between middle of October and November, and that usually carries it through to December and January until we get our spring program going.
Yeah.
But usually the lake is really muddy this time of year, so the fishing is slower this time of year, but not this year. It hasn't had the heavy, intense rains. It's only come up about 6 feet all fall and all winter, so the lake is still pretty clear. And all of a sudden, we started seeing some really nice trout coming out, especially off the shoreline again.
Well, you know there's tons of fish in the lake. I mean, your planning program, and you don't get the crowds in the fall that you do in the spring.
Right.
And usually they can't fish for them. So you've got to be kind of riding that fence. I know you, Lincoln. You, when fishing is, conditions are good, you tend to want to put some fish in that lake. You got to be going in between what to do right now, huh?
Right. I would love to put some more in January, and if we keep getting this clear weather, we'll likely do that. We just hate to put it in if it turns muddy again because we already have a lot in there. But if it stays clear, we'll continue to see more fishing pressure, and we'll want to respond to that.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, fishing sounds like it's pretty good already. I mean, I know you caught, there was a 5-pounder taken yesterday or something like that.
Yeah, I had a guy fishing early this week. He limited out, and he had one that was 4.5 and one that was 5.
Yeah.
And the rest of them were all 2s and 3s, and so he had a good day.
Now, was he in a boat or from the bank?
He was just off the bank. We're seeing him both from the boat and the bank. I would honestly say this week the bank fishermen seem to be doing a little bit better going by scent. But now that we got some clear sunny days again, instead of the overcast, they boat fishermen should also do equally well because they can see the lures again.
Sure, sure. Well, I like...
Really they're near the surface. They're down 20 or 25 feet.
I'll tell you something. The fish cruise the shoreline in the winter unless they're out after the shad balls in the middle of the lake. So both boat and shore fishermen can catch them. Real quick, Lincoln, how about bass fishing? You got anybody fishing for those?
I do, and actually the bass guys have had a really good run for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Most of them are finding bass suspended going after the bait fish. Many of them are 25 to 40 feet deep.
Uh-huh.
And actually producing some good quantity of bass. I haven't seen any whoppers in the huge size, but a lot of them that are 2 to 4 pounds in range on spotted bass.
Nothing wrong with that, huh?
Nope, but good numbers, and they're coming off the lake pretty happy.
Yeah. Well, keep us posted on if you're going to add some plants there, Lincoln.
We'll watch the weather. If we want the rain, we need it to fill the lake back up again.
Yeah.
But if we continue to see the clear weather, we'll probably start our spring program earlier.
Okay, and we'll let everybody know. Thank you, Lincoln.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Lincoln Young of Collins Lake, that number to book a campsite or whatever you want to do, 800-286-0576. You got some nice campsites available this time of year, as you might imagine. Well, I called Tim Brady up in Weaverville yesterday to get a steelhead report, and he introduced me to a guy named Zach Collins, who he's known for years and years, who just got back from a scouting trip on the Trinity with his daughter fishing for steelhead. So I talked to Zach. Zach, I understand you did a little scouting trip on the Trinity River today with your 9-year-old daughter in search of steelhead. Did you find any?
Yes, we did.
Oh, good. How many?
I believe we hooked 8 and we landed 4.
Well, how many did she catch?
All of them.
Of course she did.
I've got to row the boat.
That's pretty good, 8 hookups.
Yep.
What section of river were you fishing?
We fished Evans Bar down to Junction City.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good news that there's that many fish in that area. From the weir counts a couple of weeks ago, I expected them to be above that, but that's good news. How big were they?
Biggest was 8 pounds.
Oh, that's very nice.
And then, you know, mainly about 24, 26 inches.
Okay.
A few half-pounders mixed in, too.
There you go. How were you fishing for them?
Oh, a little bit of everything. The best bite we had was on lures. back trolling lures.
Plugs?
Yep.
Okay. What do you do you do the brads or the hot shots, or what do you do?
Mag lips and brads.
Okay. Okay. Any particular color stand out today?
Pink and copper.
Pink together or separately?
Separately.
Okay. Copper's always a good winter color, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It is, especially when it's kind of overcast or foggy.
Yeah. So. Was there many people on the river?
We've seen four or five other boats. That was it.
Well, that's still pretty good for a drift to have eight hookups with four or five other boats. I'd have to call that pretty good steelhead fishing.
Yeah. Yeah, for right now it is.
Yeah. And it should pick up with the winter fish coming in, right?
Should.
Okay. Listen, you also fish, you fish on a regular, well, you fish quite a few different places, but one of them is Shasta Lake, and we were just talking about the trout fishing pretty good up there, and I understand you fished it Christmas Eve.
Yes.
How'd you do then?
We did good on rainbows. We were targeting German browns, and we didn't have any luck with the browns, but we did good on rainbows up to about 5-6 pounds.
That's beautiful. The last couple of years have been phenomenal up there, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
With the size of the fish, I mean, everybody thinks it's a bubble that's going to pop, and it looks like it's not ready to pop yet.
Nope.
So how deep were you fishing?
Down to 20 feet, surface down to 20 feet.
Okay, that makes it more fun, too. So since you were targeting browns, can I assume you were in the McLeod arm most of the time?
Most of it, yes.
Yeah, okay. And you caught some rainbows there as well?
Yeah.
And what were you using?
Optimizer spoons.
Optimizer. Any particular color there?
Black and white.
Oh, a lot of contrast, huh?
Yep.
Do they make a cop car pattern in that?
Yeah, that's that black and white. It's kind of a two-tone.
Yeah.
Black on one side, white on the other.
Yeah. Huh. Okay, gives me ideas to start painting a few lures.
There you go.
Okay. Were you with browns, you normally troll fast. Were you trolling fast for the rainbows?
Yeah, all of the rainbows we got were trolling fast.
So like,
like 2.5 to 4
yeah.
miles an hour.
You can't pull it away from them, can you?
No. No, if they want it, they'll get it.
Now, that's Zach Collins. Sounds like a pretty good fisherman. Tim Brady just raves about what a good fisherman he is. And he and his daughter went out and got some nice steelhead on the Trinity, so that was pretty good. And we'll be talking to Zach again. His number to book a trip, 530-339-1137. Now, we didn't have time to bring you a report from Keeney's, but we've also already covered the American River. There's been a few adult fish caught in the lower reaches that's open. And Tuesday, the upper river from the power lines at Anselhoppen opened up to the USGS gauging line below the hatchery. And you cannot fish above that anymore. From there up, the Nimbus Dam is permanently closed. So there's already some fish in the hatchery. Doesn't look like a great year, but we know there's fish in the river up there. So it could be a fair opener. You put in your time. I mean, you catch one nice steelhead, that's a good day, right? I checked with Kenny Priest on the North Coast, and, you know, the rains we got over Christmas Eve, it extended up there. In fact, some of the rivers are just coming into play, like the Mad River. Today will be the first good day on the Mad River for steelhead. But the Smith is fishing. The Chetco has been fishing. And they're catching from 1 to 3 fish per boat on the Chetco. I don't know how long that will last. but there doesn't seem to be an abundance of fish up there. You got to cherry pick it a little bit. So we'll keep you posted. Also, I talked to Doug Ouellette about the fishing at Pyramid Lake. And while the weather is cold, they're not catching as many fish. But they, for example, he and his group, they caught a 15-pounder a couple days ago, and then they got a 12-pounder. And then they also get fish, you know, 8, 9, 10 pounds. This is all from the bank. So you want to brave the cold and wade the shoreline with a fly rod, you can catch some mighty big trout at Pyramid Lake. And that fishing will get better as we get little storms and a little bit more daylight. That's it. Happy New Year, and have a good week, everyone.